Now, for the young in heart and weak in the head, it's Round the Horn. The story so far: old, greasy, mad Rasputin Betty Marsden. He of the dirty, matted hair and monk's habit, which we needn't elaborate on. Genuflected in front of the Tsar, son of Ivan the Terrible, Pertwee, the even more terrible. Father of all the Russias, but he pleaded the headaches. By his side sat his two daughters, haughty, wayward tomboy Kenneth Williams, shy, demure Anastasia Paddock, she of the arch smile and fluted transept. The Tsar inclined his head towards Rasputin as the mad monk whispered his demand for money. But Pertwee the Terrible shook his head as if to say, "You can't get a silk purse out of a Tsar's ear." Rasputin's face convulsed with insane rage, and pointing a trembling finger at the Tsar, he screamed out the vile words,
"My name's Kenneth Hall." And that was Douglas Smith, of whom the police say foul play cannot be ruled out. Now, for the answers to last week's quiz, complete these song titles. Well, the first one was, "I'm Going to Sit Right Down and..." Well, the answer was, "Write Myself a Letter." There were several other suggestions that were not only unseemly, but physically impossible. And if you don't believe me, Athletic of Chatham, well, you sit right down and try it. The last title you had to complete was "I Dream Of." Well, Mr. J.G. of Rotherhithe, I've looked up what you apparently dream of in Freud, and it seems that you have a morbid fear of being brutally assaulted by a giant rabbit covered in jam. Now, don't worry, Mr. J.G. It's a very common dream indeed. Edwin Braden has it often.
Oh, him, great-airy fool. Yeah.
But the real answer to the song title is "I Dream of Jeannie with the Light Brown Hair," which I should have thought was a great improvement of "I Dream of Being Brutally Assaulted by a Giant Rabbit Covered in Jam." None of which brings us to the next part of this farrago, where we once again extend a welcome to ex-king dictator Fidel Gruntfuttock of Peacemoldia.
Ah, I am no longer dictator Gruntfuttock. Oh. No, but to wit and viz, plain brother Gruntfuttock. You see, I've had the voices again. Just after the pubs closed last night, I was cooling my fevered brow against the window of the butcher's shop when I had a vision. It took the form of a pig's head in the window. An unearthly piping issued from its lips, and it said, "Go forth, Gruntfuttock, my child. Throw off your trappings and gird up your loins." At least I think that's what it said. It was very hard to distinguish. It had an apple in its mouth.
Yes. It must have been not bad for a pig's head.
No, that's right. So I threw off my rich apparel, viz. My army surplus vest and the bowler they give me up the prisoner's welfare. And now I'm dressed simply as you see me, in the attire of my chosen calling, e.g. Gaffer of the Gruntfuttock Order.
Yes, now what are your aims?
They are simple to comprehend, my child. My child. What I mean is, any twit can catch on. You see, our aims are to reach a better and fuller life through brotherly love. And here with me is the serene high priestess of our order, Sister Buttercup. Oi, slobber chops, come up here, come up. Come give Mr. Horn the traditional mystical salutation of our calling.
Hello, cheeky face!
Oh, that's very mystical, that is.
Yes,
yeah, she's got the manners all right. The manners of mystical pig.
Hey, would you mind?
Shut your row up. How can you go about preaching brotherly love up the pub with her lurching about, breathing milk stout all over the customers, and ogling all the illegible males of the opposite sex?
Who? Who have I ogled? Name one.
Mr. Tramwicket from the horse meat shop. I've seen you ogling him.
If I didn't ogle him, you wouldn't have no Sunday joints.
All right. I'll give you a special dispensation regarding him.
Oh, you have done?
Yes.
Many times.
To sum up, if I may interrupt.
Your
sect believes in poverty, abstinence, and good works.
Yes, that is the nub and the gist of the whole brouhaha in a nutshell. And so we must be away now up the flesh pots of the great metropolis, spreading the word to whomsoever will heed us.
Spreading the word, you say?
Yes, Mr. Horn, and the word is rumpled.
That's it, Rumpelstiltskin.
What is the mystical significance of that?
Nothing, no. It's the name of a horse running in the 3:30 at York. Come on, Sister Buttercup, gird up your loins. They're off, they're off.
Now to present Kenneth Horn, the man whose last performance was nominated for the Golden Palm at the Cannes Film Festival. Kenneth Horn, Special Agent.
This is Brian Horrocks. I'm speaking to you from New York. My secretary, Miss Golightly, and I have been at Juno all day. Now, look here, it's terribly urgent. Can you get out here quickly?
It'll take some time.
Oh, that's all right. We'll probably be going on till small hours. The Security Council are very worried. Now, look here, Horn. What do you know about a man who calls himself Professor Cornposter?
Cornposter. Oh, well, he's the world's leading expert on ballistic missiles. He won last year's Nobel Prize for Physics, and he's head of the science department at Yale. Why this interest, sir?
Well, he asked me to lend him 5 shillings. All right, now take the next flight from London Airport and report to me at the Juno building in New York.
And so, pausing only to throw my baggage into the car and drive her home to her mother. I was on my way to New York.
Horn.
Ah, Brown Horrocks.
We've got some photographs here that are worrying us a bit. Here, have a look for them.
Oh, good heavens, surely Miss Golightly could catch a cold doing that.
Oh, show me. I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong photos. These were taken on the MI5 outing to Southend. Sorry about that. These are the ones I wanted you to look at. Aerial photos of Haiti. What do you make of these?
Well, looks like giant empty milk bottles about 200 feet tall, I'd say. What do you think they're being used for?
Surely it's obvious. Firing giant rockets. Oh. We had two experts studying these photographs. A chap from ballistics and a milkman. And they both agree. Secret rocket installations. And notice this small figure in the photograph here.
Yeah.
Standing beside one of the bottles.
Good heavens, I'd recognize that inscrutable oriental face anywhere. Isn't it... Gladys Lustgirdle?
No. Dr. Q.N. Ginsburg. Get out there and find out what's going on and stop it.
And with that, Brown Horrocks crossed his legs, dotted his I's, folded his arms along the perforated line, and put them in a stamped address envelope. The interview was over. I knew what I had to do. 2 days later, I was splashing happily in Haiti. The air came rushing back to my lungs as I surfaced. I removed my snorkel and flippers and lay back in the water, letting the gentle waves lap around my body. Suddenly, the dusky head of a native surfaced near mine. Clenched in his teeth was a glittering knife. One question was uppermost in my mind. What was he doing in my bath? He spoke.
Pass along the bath, man.
What are you doing here?
I'm a sponge diver.
Well, you won't find any in my bath. I use the flannel. Why don't you try the sea?
I'm not going in there, man. I can't swim.
I had a sixth sense. Call it what you will, but somehow I felt his story didn't quite add up. Suddenly, he came for me, his knife flashing. We grappled. And then, with one last despairing lunge, I managed to pull out the plug. That had been too close for comfort. After all, it was only a hip bar. Someone was trying to get rid of me. Who? I leapt out of the bath and hurried to a waterfront bar I knew. I hurried back and put some clothes on. 10 minutes later, I lounged against the bar, sipping a planter's punch. A planter next to me was sipping mine. I needed a smoke. I pulled out my pig iron cigarette case and pulled out a filter-tipped pig specially rolled for me by the little pork butcher in German Street. I puffed at it reflectively. Then suddenly I felt something hard in the small of my back. I turned and found myself staring down the small blue muzzle of a small blue dog. It bit me in the ankle and scampered off. I followed it. Soon I came to a small clearing in the jungle, and there stood a rude hut. Outside squatted a native carving a rude figure. I spoke to him. He made a rude gesture in the direction of the hut. And I knocked on the door.
Come in. Ah, Mr. Horn.
Ah, true. Well?
Ah. Sir, you have discovered my plan. I'm not saying this. Absolute rubbish. I'm mad with my training and background. I'm a dramatic actor.
Oh, yes.
I want a part with some body in it. Once more, unto the breach, dear friend.
Once more, close the wall up with our English dead. Dead, dead.
That's what I want. I've been trained for it. I want to wear tights. The legs for it. I have the legs. I've got good firm calves, I have. Go on. Have a feel of my calves.
No, I'd sooner not if you don't mind. Look, we're getting behind.
That's all you want me for, getting cheap laughs. I'm an artiste. I'm not lowering myself.
Come on, Ken. This is embarrassing.
Embarrassing? Me that's embarrassed? It's all right for you. You get good meaty parts with a bit of class in them.
Oh,
you
would
do.
You mind?
Yes, you and you, Paget. You keep well in with Kenneth Orne, don't you?
Don't
yes, you
do. I do.
Any part with a bit
time.
Of culture, you
stop
get it.
Ken,
I've an old back, I have, just because I'm a grammar school boy. Oh. I fought my way out from the gutter. I could have been a star.
Talk to him. Burn a feather under his nose or something.
I'll do the part, Ken, if you like.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mind. Yes. I take a good Japanese and I could do it. Honestly, I could. Let me do it, Miss Horn. Get rid of him. He doesn't like you. He's never liked you. I'll do the part. Come
yes,
on.
You would, wouldn't you?
You would.
Yes. Yes. You'd do anything to get a bit of attention, you would. That's it, you see. You always hate me. I've never been loved in the show. I've never been loved.
No.
I've not been loved. Nobody loves me.
Of course we do.
No, you don't.
Yes, we all do. We all do.
Well, say it then.
We all love you.
Eddie Braden didn't say it. Make him say it.
Edwin.
Oh,
please,
very well,
please.
I love you.
There wasn't any real warmth in it. Great airy hypocrite. What about the producer? Look at him up there in that control box. Look at him glowering at me. Make him say it.
John, would you mind?
Oh, all right. I love you. The whole BBC loves you. Now, will you get on with the show?
Please.
Please.
That's better. Ah, so, Mr. Hahn. You have
discovered my plan, namely to send up giant rockets filled with 300 tons of cold porridge, which I shall then explode all over the world.
But why? Why?
What else can you do with 300 tons of cold porridge?
You'll never get away with it. Take that.
Uh-huh.
And that.
Uh-huh.
And that.
No, thanks. I've already got two of them.
And N.A. failed. Goodbye. And now, Fraser Hayes Paul. Swingers, as opposed to people of my generation who just let their braces dangle. Now, first, trends in the theatre. The plays of the 30s are still being revived. Here is an excerpt from the poignant third act of Bitter Laughter, starring Dame Celia Molestrangler and Binky Huckaback.
Me coming through the window like that.
I had to come. Oh, darling. Darling Fiona.
Are you? Are you glad, Charles? About us, I mean.
Glad? Yes, Fiona. Enchantedly, heart-quenchingly, luxuriously, voluptuously glad, and yet somehow sorry. About us, I mean. And you, Fiona, are you sorry?
Grief-riddenly, wretchedly, hand-wringingly, utterly, utterly sorry. And yet, somehow, glad.
I know.
I know you know.
I know you know, I know.
Yes, I know.
Oh, darling Fiona, how I hate having to meet you like this. Secretly, furtively, lurkingly, clandestinely, for a few snatched, sweet, sad, madcap, heart-twitteringly, rib-thumpingly, melting moments of blissful pain.
Oh, painful bliss.
How true. How terribly, terribly true. And yet, how false.
How true.
Oh, what's the use, Fiona, these trite, meaningless, empty, vacuous, pointless phrases can't convey what I feel in my heart.
I sensed that.
I sensed you sensed it.
I sensed you sensed I sensed it.
Yes, I sensed it.
I know.
I know you know.
I know you know.
Yes, I know. That's the marvelous thing about us. We don't need words.
No.
I must go now, darling. Goodbye.
And shall I see you again? Answer yes, Charles. For pity's sake, answer yes.
Yes. When I come to clean the windows again.
Tremendous tour de overacting that was. And now trends in music. Time once again to welcome that picturesque, homespun, folksy twit, rambling Sid Rumpo.
Hi, Mary Dan. Crumple diddle I do and other colorful affectations. Well, me dearie, oh, in the past week I've been frolicking around, listening to the simple country folk a-warbling their colorful ditties and cleaning them up for getting them past the censor, oh. Chirrup, chirrup, poor Tom's gone away, oh.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Now, what are you going to sing for us this week, Rambling Sid?
Tis a grummet tinker song from the bogs of old Ireland. And it's sung by the itinerant peddlers of their parts as they lurk in the peat bogs tinkering their grummets.
I suppose they don't have television.
Tis a courting song sung by a young tinker to his lighter love as he plights his troth. He sings to her, if you will give me all your love, then I shall give to thee jewels and perfumes and a ribbon for your hair and an old pair of boots what belong to my granny. They'll need resoling, but they'll do you a treat for getting in the cold. But as he goes, he sings this song. Sing tirlaye for the tinker's life from Cork to old Tralee-o. For I will give thee pots and pans if you'll come a tinkering with me, ho. With a tumble down tick and a rooney o' day, sing tross up, a fall dear old Ido. And I'll treadle my crumple for many a day if I don't get a stitch in my side, oh. Side, oh, side, oh. If I don't get a stitch in me side, oh.
And thank you, Rambling Sid. Now, last week, a maiden aunt wrote to me to say she was coming to London on a visit, and would I get her a couple of seats for something in the West End? So I went along to a new ticket agency that's just opened in Chelsea. Boner Seats. And I popped in to see what they had. Hello, anybody there?
Hello, I'm Julian. This is my friend Sandy. Want the bonus seats, we have them. And what can I do for you?
Well, I want of you to get me a couple of tickets for the West End show. How about little me?
Yes, how about little you? Walking here and just demand seats for a show, can you, Jules?
Of course he can't. I mean, we're booked out. Look, I've got crosses all over my seating plan.
Well, here's some that are not marked. Where? Now, can't I have that one?
Yes, if you don't mind playing the bassoon in the orchestra.
Well, what have you got?
Oh, how about As You Like It in the open air? Or you've got your old bit in every V and Vi.
Henry V and Vi. Let's have a look. That's Henry the Sixth.
Oh, I told you, you were.
Anyway, when we saw it, we wondered which one was Vi.
There you are.
Of course, we might be able to fit you in for Hamlet.
He don't want that.
Don't he?
Of course he don't.
What about an opera, then?
Yeah.
Do you think he'd enjoy Cosy Van Tutti?
Mozart?
Please yourself, we only pick for seeds. Anyway, savage two eyebrow for you, be over your head.
I've got it. I've got the very thing.
You've got the very thing?
Drama, movement, and the best acting in London.
Well, it sounds wonderful. What is it?
All in wrestling.
That's all for today. We'll be back with another edition of Round the Horn next week. Cheerio. See you next week. That was Round the Horn, starring Kenneth Horne, with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marston, and Bill Pertwee. On the musical side, you heard the Fraser Hayes Four and Edwin Braden and the Hornblowers. The script was written by Barry Took and Marty Feldman and produced by John Simmons.